The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This show is packed. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
What's up, bro? Yeah, it is packed.
Packed.
Jam-packed.
We got tons of guests.
Like a jacket. Looks nice.
You refer to this as a jacket?
I don't really know what you call it. I'm not a fashion guy. You know,
That FSDS, fashion stylist, Dever song on that. This is the thing today. First of all, we have a bunch of guests that we want to. Drew Densick will join us, talk NFL and a little in-season tournament in the National Basketball Association. Final night of group stage.
Yes.
Not final night of the final night.
Correct, but I'm pumped.
Two teams in, six to be determined.
That's right. Yep.
Kai McKeon on College Hoops. I want to ask him about the teams that have the biggest difference between rankings and KenPom and whether that should trigger futures bets. I got a bet on one of them. I think I'm going to make a bet on the second one. We'll highlight two teams.
Okay.
Paul Carr on the Champions League. Pete Futak on college football. I think I'm looking forward to the Futak segment more than anything. I'm going to tell you why. This debate, in a year where there might not be any, where there might not have been any debate at all, we might have the biggest one of them all if your Florida State Seminoles win.
Yep. Just hoping for chaos. You know, I love chaos, Gil Alexander.
If your Seminoles win, do you believe they should be in?
Yeah.
Listen. So me, Will Hill, and Felico are just getting into it on text. And Will and I are sort of simpatico, which is, this is one of these things where I wouldn't be outraged by either result.
Not me either.
If Florida State got in, I know there's a lot of people who'd be outraged by it. Oh, but they don't have Jordan Travis. They don't have their best player, and the team is different than what it was. I'm sorry. You can't tell all those other players on the team, thanks for showing up for the schedule this year. Thanks for going undefeated in a Power 5 schedule. And just because the one dude, your leader over there, is gone, you're all screwed.
So real quick, cause like I think you're right there, because it sends a terrible message to college football. Right. When we're in an era of transferring as much as people do, declaring for the draft, if you're telling a team that you're going to go undefeated in a Power 5 conference, win a conference championship, and we're still going to keep you out of the playoffs. OK, the next time I'm a star wide receiver on any team and the quarterback gets injured, then I'm sitting out the rest of the season waiting for the draft.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if they were not allowed in, I would also understand why.
I completely understand. As far as fans go, it's better, a better playoff experience.
I'm just saying it's one of these instances in life where I would not be outraged by either. I'm curious where Futak will come down on this, because Futak, as we know, is not only a Power 5 snob, but he's also a hierarchy within the Power 5 snob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's that guy.
And then I heard I heard them going through scenarios this morning, and like Paul Feinbaum talking about like he's going to lose his mind if an SEC actually gets boxed out, because like there is that scenario, right, where that could happen, where like Florida State gets in, right, and somehow you take Texas over Bama.
Oh, if Bama beats Georgia.
Yeah, if Bama beats Georgia. Well,
that's already down the road. We'll get to who he would have as the best number one team. Will tonight's rankings will be kind of, I think, informative towards what might happen. Maybe not this championship week. We'll get into all that with him. And then Dan Bespris joins us. I always love Bespris on this show.
Damn.
Best audio in the biz to talk NBA. Okay. Last night, the Vikings laid a colossal egg. They lose outright to the Bears 12-10. We'll get into the details of this game momentarily. Survivor implications. 32 of the remaining 112 headed into last night bounced. We have 80 left in Circa Survivor. 80. 80 left, all of whom, best we can tell, are the proud owners of one entry, with the exception of seven others who have two and one person, Champa Bay, who has three. So what is that right there? That means that out of the 80, best we can tell, 71 different human beings are attached to the 80. Two for our own Paulie Howard. You and I learned yesterday. Paulie's still alive. And then we talked about that gentleman from L.A. yesterday.
We learned yesterday. I'm sure everybody else knew.
Like,
Gil and I are driving in here usually when those guys are on.
But good on him, right?
Yeah.
Because, again, now the intrinsic value, now that we're down to 80, the value of each of these. You ready for this number?
Oh, gosh. Lay it on me.
Oh, God, if I could just find it. Here it is. $115,837.50. Good on all of you.
Man.
This wasn't a game theory year. This was just a, hey, let's just take this one. But even that, right? Like, even the people who are still alive, because I'm hearing, you've heard a few of these people talk about it. I still don't get that they get that they're completely lucky too, right? Like, I get it. It's you. You oh, did God, it, and you dodged the minefield.
Right. Yeah.
But it wasn't because the others were dumb. Yep. Weren't as smart as you. It's just a fascinating mental exercise. Good on everybody. I wish everybody luck.
It works for almost every contest, right? Like, you need to be good. You need to have some luck. Like,
for sure,
it's every contest.
For sure, there's luck involved. But I would argue, like, a Fezzik in these contests is more skill than luck.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes.
But he needs luck, too. They all need luck, of course. Absolutely. As far as the game itself, Josh Dobbs, since joining the Vikings prior to last night, was number three in the NFL in total QBR. Last night, QBR stood for quite bad, really, actually, because he was not good. So in fact, not good that the Vikings are considering, let's put it this way. They're evaluating the quarterback position after last night. Now, here's the thing. If you're number three in total QBR and then you have one bad game, to our casual fan's eye, it's one thing. But to the all 22 eye, it must have been even worse. Let me just take you through a couple of things last night. First of all, after Santos missed a field goal try for the Bears, I'll make this quick. But the first drive for Dobbs and the Vikings, we'll forget this. He threw a perfect deep pass to Jordan Addison, which was ruled incomplete, even though we never saw the ball hit the turf on replay. And no one challenged it. That was an interesting start to that game. Anyway, three and out for the Vikings. Later, we'll go to the second quarter at this point. By the way, when we got to the second quarter, it was 3-0 Chicago. And at that point, it was 119-7 in total yards. 14-46-139 time possession. And here's where the Hobbs follies begins. Second and 12 at their own 35 for the Vikings. Hobbs picked by Jalen Johnson.
Dobbs. Autocorrect. Again.
Dobbs. Pardon me. Dobbs picked by Jalen Johnson. Was it the first or second time I said it?
No, first time today.
Okay. I was going to say. Dobbs picked by Jalen Johnson. That led to nothing. The Vikings gave him four turnovers. And the Bears barely could win this game.
I know. It was incredible. It was an awful game.
It was awful. Then later, same quarter, third and fourth, their own 49, Dobbs picked off a deflection off Jordan Addison's hand by Jaquan Brisker. Then almost a pick six to Jalen Johnson on the next possession. So he also had a little interception luck as well, should be pointed out. Later, now this is in the second half because it's 3-3 at the half. Fourth and seven at their own. This was a curious decision by O'Connell. Fourth and seven at their own 49, opening drive, third quarter. It's 3-3. It's tied. They decide to go for it. Fourth and two is one thing. Fourth and seven was odd. Mm-hmm. Hobbs to Hawkinson for six. Didn't get there. Dobbs anyway, Bears. What did you say?
Dobbs to Hawkinson.
I got to stop saying it because it keeps autocorrecting. Sorry. Dobbs to Hawkinson. I'm just looking at the notes.
Just go Pastrnak the whole time.
Pastrnak to Hawkinson. Right. That did lead to a Bears field goal 6-3. Then Dobbs, the next drive, picked off a deflection by TJ Edwards. So a couple of these were deflections. A lot of people are going to say it's not his fault, but one of them he whipped in. The other one was, you know, into coverage. So they are kind of his fault. And then the next possession, Dobbs is picked by Kyler Gordon. Now, this one was unabashedly a horrible pass.
That was awful. Yeah.
That was horrific.
That was one of the worst passes of the season.
Yeah. And so it was 9-3 at that point. But so then you're like, okay, we're not going to see a touchdown. The Bears are doing this. But then second and 10 at the Minnesota 22, we're in the fourth quarter now. Field sacked by Danielle Hunter. He fumbles. That leads to a Vikings drive. Every single one of these Vikings drives had a Dobbs mishap. That led to Dobbs deep to Jordan Addison, wide open.
Oh, my gosh.
The pass should have been in the field of play and easy 6 points.
The corner fell down.
Instead, it's by the sideline, and Addison compounded it by not knowing where his feet were.
Yeah.
Because he still could have had
Addison
a game.
Addison could have saved that
he
play.
But he had
no idea where he was.
No idea where he was. Both on both ends, they were bad. I think we literally went through every single Vikings drive and there was a Dobbs mishap in all of those. By the way, though, it didn't matter because then they matriculated down the field and they got the only touchdown of the game. Dobbs went to Addison for 14. Dobbs to Hockenson for 16. Dobbs to Hockenson for 17 in the end zone. 10-9. And then Fields fumbles again. Like, the Bears are doing everything to give up this game. He's hit by Josh Metellus. He's recovered by Anthony Barr. There's 3:27 left in the game. The Vikings are up 10-9 in plus territory. And this is the worst moment of the game for the Vikings. They go nowhere with it. Nowhere. They don't gain a single yard. A god-awful sequence that resulted in a punt. And by the way, Troy Aikman openly contemplating whether or not the Vikings should have kicked a 60-yarder at that moment. I'm like, I'm not going to think that's a good idea, Troy. I don't know what you're
trying an interesting night.
Yeah, it's not good. And then Chicago took it over at their own 22 with 2:29 to go. And the big play was a 36-yarder to DJ Moore. It set him up in field goal range, and that was that. Santos, 30-yard field goal. Minnesota loses 12-10. Kelly and I have our power rankings, our top 10 power rankings coming up. The only thing I want you to reveal, because you know what mine are, I don't know what yours are. We've got to have, not in the same order, we've got to have the same top 10 teams, right?
We do. We do.
Thank you.
We're at that point where
Because there's no other candidates.
Well, I think we've, you know, as we've done these throughout the year, right, there's been different separation points, whether it's 7, whether it's 12,
yes,
right?
10 is exactly.
10 is the exact number, I feel like.
It's exactly it, because if you have a notion to take any of those 10 out, there is such a raging case for the others not to go in.
Yep.
That's what it is. So I can't imagine anybody would have anybody but these 10. We'll get to that a little later on the show as well. Could we kick it off with?
We got Drew Dinsick. I'm with you, though. I am floored by the news of they're considering benching Dobbs.
Number three in total QBR. I just went through it. You were really bad. Don't get me wrong, but that's one game. Drew Dinsick, his thoughts next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bruce Dobigan, Roy Dobbs, the natural. I love it. Joey Sinante, Papa Jojo. At this point, we should all just ask Dobbs to change his last name. Way to be all over it this time, Kelly. This is from Johnny Ringo also. I'm guessing someone was watching The Natural last night. Hobbs, Hobbs, Hobbs. No, it just auto-corrects on my notes. That's all. And I just Ron Burgundy through it. We can't hear you. Yeah, I can't hear you. Oh, Kelly's been muted. The gods have decided. You see the lights went down here a second ago, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
There we go. All right. A guy in the cornfields wants me to walk back my statement about the Vikings being better off with Josh Dobbs than with Kirk Cousins. I'm not sure after one game I ever do that kind of thing. And again, he was number three in total QBR. And again, I've watched every snap of Kirk Cousins' career in Washington. He's won one playoff game in his entire life. I'm not so sure. I'm not.
Well, the one I'll side with you on this time is I'm more shocked by O'Connell saying that after the game last night Dobbs' actual play in the game.
Listen, I'm the first. We just went through how bad he was last night. Like, it was worse than even the box score. Like, he could have had another pick, a pick six. The long pass to Addison was just egregious. He was terrible last night. But
I mean, maybe Jaren Hall's great.
Any one game? I don't know if I'm going to make that comment. Ron Mexico, I would lay -5,000 that undefeated FSU is in. This is such a great debate. It is such a great debate because people are like, people think the other side is so ridiculous. I don't think either side is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't either.
D-Gen, Southern Gent, love all your guests, but Power 5 Pete is hard to beat. Excited to hear him straddle both sides of the should FSU make the CFP argument the way he couldn't decide whether Michael Penix or Bo Nix was a better pro prospect back on October 10th's ANG. That's good knowledge.
That is
excellent. Eddie B., any chance for Sirianni for NFL Coach of the Year? He was fifth last year, and they were better. But yeah, if they're the number one seed, anything is possible.
I mean, that especially if they create some separation there, right? Like, he could just back his way into winning that almost.
And Summer Hutchinson, he doesn't like the discussion at all. He says, no offense, I'm so ready for this four-team discussion about college football to be over with. Thank goodness for the expansion.
Okay.
Well, that's fair, too. Absolutely fair. We'll go on with more tweets a little later on. It is time, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to do your NBA picks before we do Power Rankings? What do you got in the NBA?
Sure. Tonight? Yeah, I'm on the Hawks and Rockets tonight. Drew kind of mentioned both of those sides when we were talking to him. Both of those teams still technically alive. The Hawks maybe a little bit more of a reach here to actually get past the group stage of the in-season tournament. They're playing the Cavs though tonight. These numbers were just a few points off from where I had. You just look at what these teams have done this season. Atlanta 8-8, plus 4.3 net rating and non-garbage time minutes over that time. You're going up against a Cleveland team. Yes, they've dealt with a lot. They've dealt with some injury problems throughout this year, but they are far below that. And then Rockets. All right, Rockets, we talked about a little bit with Drew, but man, they've been one of the hottest teams to start the year right now. It may not be one of the best teams in the NBA, but as far as picking up W's and covering spreads, very quality team. I really like what they've been done with this roster. Going up against a Mavericks team tonight that is eliminated from the in-season tournament. Where they stand, I'm just double-checking that. Yeah, 1-2. They are eliminated in that, so Rockets do have a little bit of that extra motivation. I think you do want to kind of look at some of these younger teams, that this money could mean a little bit something more to in these spots. I think another thing so those are the two sides I'm on. Hawks plus 5, Rockets plus 5. Both those are kind of like 4.5 right now. I also play Clint Capella over his rebound prop, 8.5. His minutes have been kind of up and down, but with Cleveland, he's going to be going up against the bigs, Jared Allen and Mobley. There. I do think he's going to have to play a lot of minutes tonight. Probably grab more than 8.5 rebounds pretty easily. I do think it's interesting. I think it's a great live betting situation tonight, though, Gil, because you have a lot of these teams that need to make up point differentials. That is a tiebreaker that's going to go into this. And a lot of these teams, you're going to be playing similar times, right? You might not know exactly what's going on in another game, and you might just think, I've got to put up as many points as possible. It's how a lot of these teams have been treating some of these games. So live betting in the NBA, I think a little bit different tonight, but definitely some great opportunities to jump in, because you're not going to have a lot of these books taking into account the motivation of these teams.
It's a great point. The tiebreakers, by the way, for those wondering, head-to-head is first, point differential is second, total points scored is third, and then regular season record is the fourth. We got to that. And then, by the way, there's a fifth, random drawing, which we hope we'll get to.
Yeah, hope we'll never see that.
The only thing I want to ask about your theory about the in-game betting, that assumes buy-in from all of these teams and all of these players. Do we think we have that in the tournament?
I don't know if I would go that far, but yeah, you've seen some teams like the Phoenix Suns are a great example of piling up the score at the end because they know this differential is going to come into play.
And that means it's time for NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in. 105. Sorry. Okay. Kelly and I have come to. I didn't know this. I submit mine to him, and as I submit them, I'm thinking to myself, we have to have the same 10 teams, not the same order, but the same 10 teams in the top 10, because I don't believe there's a case for any of the others as currently constituted. My rankings did not shift much this week at all. Still got the Niners 1. Yes, I still have the Chiefs number 2, Mahomes, end of that defense. I got the Ravens at 3. I got the Eagles at 4. I know there's a lot of people who are going to quibble with that order of those top 4. They're going to say the Eagles should be higher. The Eagles have just been, there's a few games they should have lost that they won. They deserve all the credit in the world for that. Don't get me wrong. But I still just have them 4th in the power rankings, largely because of that. Dolphins and Cowboys, the Bullies are 5 and 6. Put those two in any order you want. Then I don't think there's a case really to knock the Jaguars out of 7. I think they're entrenched there.
Yep.
The Bills are on the outside looking in on the playoff picture, but I have them as the 8th best team in the National Football League. And then 9 and 10 for me, Kelly, the Texans make their first appearance for me at number 9, even in defeat against the Jaguars, no shame. And I really do believe that D'Amico, Ryan, CJ Stroud, and then the rest of that team, they're the 9th best team in football. I have the Lions at 10, even after they just laid an egg against the Packers on Thanksgiving. I'd love to take the Lions out, but I don't think there's a case for any other team. If you get to the point where you're like, well, what about Cleveland? Well, Cleveland is now perhaps going to start Joe Flacco this weekend. And by the way, Myles Garrett, they did get some good news on Myles Garrett, the pop in the shoulder, no structural damage. So he should be good to go. He's day to day, but he should be good to go. He says he's feeling good. But those are the top 10 teams. I can't imagine what the argument is for anyone else. You had the same 10 in the
end. Yeah, I do. Who would be your 11 if you had to choose? I did.
Cleveland would be my 11.
Okay. I did ultimately kind of come to the same conclusion that these are the 10 teams. And yes, you could argue order. I agree, though, that these are the 10 teams right now. I'm just looking over what Pro Football Focus and then DVOA have. Let's see. DVOA tells us that the Steelers should be in here for us. They're in at number 10.
No, they shouldn't.
Overall. And then Pro Football Focus has the although this might not be updated from last night, Vikings in at 8, and then Seattle Seahawks in at 10. They actually have the Chiefs on the outside looking at 11.
Who has the Chiefs at 11?
Pro Football Focus.
Has the Chiefs at 11?
Yeah.
Stop it already.
Yeah. I have Eagles. I did the same thing. I left mainly the top the same. Eagles 1. This was really easy for me, right? Yeah. Leave the same because they're gonna play this. I think I've been talking about it the past couple of weeks. I think the 49ers upside is higher than where the Eagles are at right now. But can't punish this team for keep winning these games. It's set up very nicely for me, like in a college football playoff-esque of just, hey, they're going to play this weekend. I'll figure that out after that. Chiefs 3 for me. Ravens stay 4. Cowboys stay 5. And I think that's, you talked about your top 4. I think that's the top 4 to me. And then there is that separation between those 4 and the bullies, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, the Cowboys and Dolphins, I think they belong right there, 5 and 6. Do they have a chance to make this season interesting? Yeah, they got a chance, but they still got to show us they can beat some good teams. They haven't really showed us that all year. Jaguars finally starting to play more consistent football. Do have them up there at 7. I'm with you there. I think the way you talked about the Jags and Bills is spot on. Hey, Bills are still, the talent's there. I can't. It was hard for me. I went back and forth between Bills and Lions, but I just ended up flipping those two, but did drop the Lions below them. I think that
I love your slow bleed on the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, what they did on Thursday, it's just what can you say?
That was a disaster. Come back to me, everybody.
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
And then Texans, yeah, I put them in at 10. I was going back and forth on that one. I think personally, if I had to put another team in, it would probably be Cleveland, but I'm not doing that right now.
Not when you're down to Flacco. No. I mean, P.J. Walker or Joe Flacco at this point, you can't.
Yeah. The injury situation is a nightmare this week.
I mean, their defense alone makes them 11 for me. And then after that, good God.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you are talking about the Minnesotas, the Seattles of the world, the Pittsburghs of the world. I get it there.
Seattle doesn't deserve it anymore. We'll come back. College basketball. I want to talk about the biggest discrepancy in KenPom versus the rankings and how that can trigger a bet for you. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant. Kelly, were you aware of that? That in the NBA, the game can change in an instant?
It's true. It's a fact.
Really? Interesting. Didn't know you knew. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, it's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D in lovely downtown Las Vegas. I said at the top of the show, I was looking more forward to this segment than any other today. Not because I don't love Drew Dinsick and Paul Carr and Kai McKeon and Dan Bespris, who's still to come.
No, you hate everybody. You said that. You said that off the air.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you're like, the only person I like today is Pete.
And it's not because I love Pete more than them, but this discussion is so interesting to me and obviously has implications to your futures tickets. We bring in Pete Futak, ladies and gentlemen, from collegefootballnews.com. Hello, Pedro. How are you?
My show sucks. Please save my show. I hear you. It's okay. You don't have to dog the other guests. I get it.
Yeah, that's not where I was going with it.
I know.
So here,
this is the happiest show I'm on today.
Listen, I find this debate fascinating. In a year where there appeared to be a scenario where there would be no debate at all, a debate has sprung. And it is fascinating to me that people are on one side are as staunchly entrenched on their viewpoint as the other people on the other side. And I really find myself saying that I wouldn't be outraged by either. And the question is, if FSU beats Louisville in the ACC championship, whether it's by 3 or 20 might make a difference to you. Maybe it doesn't. But if they win, they will have a 0 in the loss column. And to the question of, therefore, should they be in the college football playoff? Again, the argument is such that I hear people passionately saying, hey, they got zero losses. They're a Power Five. They're in no matter what. And then the other people are like, no, there's language in the committee bylaws that says if the team is fundamentally changed, I'm paraphrasing now, which FSU obviously is without Jordan Travis, that the committee's job is to pick the four best teams and FSU wouldn't be one of them. Where does Peter Futak land on this?
Having been, knowing the college football playoff people, I used to work with them. I've been through the process. I've been in through the grapevine thing and everything like this. The rules are set up to be loose, to be able to allow the committee to pick anybody they want. If they wanted to pick Louisiana Monroe, Eastern Michigan, and whatever, they could do whatever they wanted. So their goal is to try to come up with the four best teams. I am, however, and this is the only area of my life that I am this way, a strict believer in precedent when it comes to how they have done this. And in the history of the short history of this college football playoff, they have never kept out a 13-0 Power Five conference champion. That, and they have never left out a 12-1 Power Five conference champion, except for once, and that's because we had a 12-0 Notre Dame instead of an Ohio State team that got boat raced by Purdue. So to me, it's not fair to say, okay, your quarterback got hurt and you can't overcome this. Obviously, Florida State's not necessarily as good as they were with Jordan Travis. But yes, 13-0, especially since there aren't other undefeated options potentially there on the table. 13-0 Power Five conference champion in, no matter what, there's no way they are not taking a 13-0 ACC champion Florida State.
He said there is no way, no way, ladies and gentlemen, no way.
They can't.
I wouldn't be outraged to use my word on it for either outcome. I am leaning firmly on your side, which is why I said.
Well, here's the thing. Who's your alternative? So in your scenario here, let's say. The only way this comes up is, let's say we have Chuck. And remember, the thing about this is when you're talking about betting and in the history of the college football playoff era, the conference championships have been total chalk. We have yet to, the upsets have been something, Utah got USC last year, or, Baylor, got Oklahoma State. I mean, there've been really kind of like, mild upsets. We haven't had the, Iowa over Michigan. We haven't had the big giant, left hook from anywhere. So assume these conference championships go chalky. The one that would be the opposite, which actually would be an upset now, would be if, let's say, Washington goes 13-0. Let's say Georgia wins and goes 13-0, and let's say Michigan goes 13-0. So those three, no one would question. Those three would be in without even a discussion. And then let's say Florida State goes 13-0. There, it's easy. There's no reason to tune in on Sunday morning. But let's say Washington loses. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia. That's going to be the funkiest scenario on this, because it affects Texas and affects Oregon, is if Bama beats Georgia. Then the argument becomes one loss Georgia, because you're not supposed to know. In theory, you're supposed to wake up from a coma and pick these teams. You're not supposed to know that they're the two-time national championship, but we know how this works. Mm-hmm. Two-time national champion Georgia in a conference, though, that's the worst of the Power Five by a mile when it came to head-to-head competition with the rest of the Power Fives, but it's still Georgia. 12-1 Georgia, who loses to Alabama, let's say it's a close loss, or 13-0 Florida State. There's your discussion that they would have. At the end of the day, they would put in Alabama, and then who do you leave out? So I think 13-0 Florida State's in no matter what. I still think that there's a possibility that the SEC would get left out, but it won't, because Alabama would get in if it beat Georgia.
Yeah, the other controversy beyond the FSU, perhaps, controversy is that Alabama thing. And if Alabama somehow gets in over Texas, right, with both having one loss, that would be justifiable outrage, wouldn't it, Pete? At least get
they'd
that.
Have to move the, they'd have to move the offices out of Grapevine, Texas. You couldn't operate there in Dallas and do that. But
Hold on, Pete. I know you love to talk, but let me just get in one thing. Even Pete Futak would admit, based on your Power Five hierarchy snobbery, that would be ridiculous. Yes?
Can't do it. You got to put Texas in.
All right.
And the justification would be from the College Football Playoff Committee that if Georgia is the number one seed, it would be. Let's see what happens tonight. Michigan should be number one. The committee's been a little all over the place. But let's say Alabama, especially if Alabama, beat them badly, all of a sudden you're like, how do you keep Alabama out of the College Football Playoff? Well, what if Washington wins? And obviously, what if Michigan wins? What if Florida State wins? Who do you leave out, Texas or Alabama?
So what's the tell tonight? What are you looking for in these penultimate rankings? What's the tell?
Remember when we first did this, the first ever College Football Playoff rankings, Iowa State was third. They won, I think, 55-3 over Iowa State, and they finished sixth. So it all changes because of the whole calculus changes on the conference championships. Because, again, whatever it is tonight, if Bama beats Georgia, that throws everything into a tizzy from there. Yeah. So it really is just as crazy as do you think. And here's where Bama beating Georgia really screws things up because, let's say Oregon beats Washington. Now what do you do? Because I think if Texas beats Alabama, they have to say, we are going to put let's say Alabama wins and Texas beats Oklahoma State. They're going to say, we're going to put both of them in because Alabama needs to be in because they beat the number one Georgia Bulldogs and Texas has to be in because they beat them by 10. Oregon's out in this scenario. So
if FSU wins by a point and Bama, let's say, beat Georgia by 10, right? And Oregon beat Washington by 20 or whatever it is. Well, it'll be so fascinating to see.
I didn't think I was on with you, actually. I don't know if we've been on for this long, but the first College Football Playoff.
Yes, I was going to bring this up.
When it was supposed to be the four best teams, Florida State would, but there you only had two undefeated teams. Maybe one, but Florida State had to be in because it was undefeated, but they were not one of the four best teams. They squeaked by, the ACC was bad.
They put them in as the number three team. They were the only undefeated and they put them in as the third seed. Jameis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that sort of set the precedent was if you're an undefeated Power Five champion, I do think in any scenario, there's no chance a 13-0 Power Five champion does not get let in because they've always defaulted to undefeated, including Notre Dame, who 2020, we had this discussion, Texas A&M was better. Their only sin was they lost to Alabama, who turned out to be awesome. And they put in Notre Dame because they were undefeated and then got killed by Clemson. So they do like the undefeated aspect.
Pete, I actually agree with you. I do think they'll put in FSU no matter what. And I know there's some people who
think they will.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, last 45 seconds then here. What's your favorite championship week? What's your favorite bet of the entire weekend?
Michigan, I just don't think Iowa scores. I mean, Iowa does defense. Michigan does defense better. 23.5 is a little light. Penn State beat Iowa 31-0. I'm sort of seeing something like that, like maybe 31-3. 23.5 is light. And I think, Washington plays everything close. I do think Oregon wins, but 9.5 is a whole lot of points to be given away to a Washington team that just so happens to have beaten them and be pretty good. I'm not convinced Oregon's this be all end all like everyone's loving right now because they did play a lot of teams that were close. So I like Washington in the points, and I like Michigan to blow away Iowa.
I think I'm with you on the Michigan thing for real. Like Michigan could just house them. Pete, this is going to be fascinating. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
Talk to you next week.
The great Pete Futak, FIUTAK on the Twitter machine, collegefootballnews.com.
Great breakdown. That was great stuff.
I love it because people are so convinced of their side of this. This is going to be fascinating. Dan Bespris on the NBA. He'll join us next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.